Yeah.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Rebecca. I would ask how you are, but that doesn't even feel like the right question right now.
Nope, hitting record this week feels weird.
Yeah. It's been a couple weeks since we have recorded. We took some time off to step back and look really critically at ourselves and the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
I don't want to
There's been a lot of text messages of us exchanging actual photographs of our libraries with each other and speaking about the opportunities in theory at education we've had in our lives and what those canons look like. And yeah, I mean, just a few weeks ago when we did our 6-month reflection on what we wanted to do next, we both talked about spending more time focusing on smaller publication presses, spending more time focusing on narratives outside of our own, where we see ourselves or our partners, and really just putting the work in. And then the atrocious murder that happened occurred, and we just both were like, nope, there's no time to wait. We need to hold ourselves accountable instead, and that research and that thought process and that increase in our personal libraries and that extensive bibliography has to happen now. We have to start now. There's no waiting. And the accountability is already too late. So with that being said, instead of running to try to catch up, because we never will, we had a lot of conversations about what we expect from ourselves going forward.
I'll just follow that to say that the really hard and necessary conversations that are happening, you know, all over the world and in every sphere following the murder of George Floyd and the subsequent outpouring of grief and rage has really done a number on the systems that I think a lot of us have long taken for granted or thought were impenetrable. And it's necessary to not just talk the talk, but actually say, this is the work that we are going to do. I think I personally feel a sense of, like, I think shame is probably the right word for, like, my own complicity and how that's been reflected in even, like, what we're reading and how we talk about certain stories and what we choose to bring to this space. So this is not us saying we're patting ourselves on the back and, you know, we are totally perfect people moving forward. We know we're not. And this is really our way of holding ourselves accountable. These are things that know that we have a duty to do as human beings.
Yeah, it's not, I hope we start or we're going to start. It is, we are actively putting in the work so it will happen. And in the sphere that is women loving women, romance, lesbian romance, it is knocking down the walls that are inconvenient to get through and understanding that that inconvenience is not about us. It's about hundreds of thousands of small toothpicks making very, very difficult walls to break down because of publishing restrictions and voices people don't seek out outside of their own, and comfort and stability and not worried about using the wrong language and basically saying we're going to trip over our own feet We're going to do our best not to do anything shameful. And if we do, we're going to learn from it and we're going to keep going, because if we're going to talk about the community that is queer women, that is all women. And we need to be better about making sure that we are respectful with a platform like this of not leaving anybody out of the discussion.
I'd love to hear from you. So you and I have been exchanging a lot of text messages. We've been sharing our libraries. And I know you did a really extensive deep dive into finding more diverse stories, finding lesfic by Black authors featuring different voices and communities. And I know that's been an interesting experience.
It is not easy to do easy searching, minimal searching, to find queer Black authors who write queer Black romances that are easily accessible and can get sent to your e-reading device or your home, paired against the greater cacophony of chaos that we are living in. I think it's really important for a moment just to recognize that COVID and last week's overturning of health regulations for the community versus the Supreme Court 6-3 vote this week. There are so many things right now. If you are within a sphere where you shut down when you're stressed, that there is a lot of stuff to try to shut you down. So if going and finding a book that brings you joy and lets you exhale in the things we often discuss between ourselves that kind of just bring us serenity and bliss, the ability to see yourself in those texts is not made simple. And the internet is not helpful. Basic keywords that you think would get you to books you were interested in fail you time and time again. And the failure of finding adult, queer, Black, brown, indigenous representation in novels, especially both MCs being people of color, hasn't been easy. And I'm not saying it needs to be easy for me. I'm just saying as a product that people can consume, it is not an easy product to find. And that speaks beyond any language I currently am able to possess about the rights and the ability to see yourself on the page. I feel like my privilege has been checked a lot recently, not half as much as when I just wanted to find a damn book to read that wasn't something that's usually given to high schoolers and college students during February for Black History Month, or something that didn't win major awards and is given about 6 months of press before people stop talking about it. I'm a ball of rage with how difficult this has been. Though I do want to give some permission to the YA community, because they are definitely, definitely, definitely doing their damn best to make sure it doesn't continue. But we don't discuss YA here, so that amazing representation is kind of a moot point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not saying that this as an excuse or like to give ourselves any clearance. We're saying this is a huge issue in the industry, that if two people who
have 7 months to 9 months now of knowledge about how to whittle down search terms to get to exactly what they're looking for and understand how to navigate within the romance industry's targeted language, because we've learned so much about it in almost a year, to have those tools, which not everybody has, and still come up time and time again without search results, speaks to a vastly larger problem. Mm-hmm. We recently discussed a novel where one of the two characters was a woman of color. That came up faster in searching. Now, it could be because of cookies in my computer. I'm willing to get that. But even in like incognito tabs, that came up faster for a lesbian romance novel with a woman of color than novels written by Black queer women or Black queer people. There's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong when a white author's MC comes up faster than a person of color's MC when you are seeking that out, when you are seeking out somebody who has a better inherent understanding of writing mm-hmm. that voice, because it might mirror a little bit more of a lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain how flabbergasted I am. And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed in myself, and I'm embarrassed in the choices I've made as a reader, that I am just now really starting to understand this. And I am so sorry So my apology is there, because I realize I had no idea, and I will do my best going forward, and I will be better about my algorithm searches and my keywords and what I can do to change systems as a consumer. It is something you can do for free when you're searching for things. But I, Caitlin, I don't, what the hell? Like, I don't.
Yeah. I think what the hell is like what keeps going through my brain over and over again. And we,
Akilah Hughes this week sent a tweet out that said, you know, white people, don't be worried about fucking it up. You're going to fuck it up, but we need you to fuck up so you can learn to be better. So mm-hmm. this is the episode where you and I are fucking up all the time. So, yeah. You know, let's get better at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we, this is a failure on our part. This is a failure, like a larger systematic failure. And I think you and I are both people who strive, sometimes to our detriment, to make things really comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I'm really willing to do that anymore. And I think in some instances it's irresponsible to do that. And I think we all, as readers and as people who care about the lesbian community and these stories as real cultural objects, need to recognize, like, this can't just be fixed by finding one or two stories or by white authors putting more diversity into their books, that we need to empower Black women, Black people, people of color who want to write queer stories, and not have them only be stories of suffering. Like, I've just been thinking so much about the images that we consume of Black and brown bodies, the stories that we get taught. And so much of it is about suffering and pain. And, you know, we need to be able to showcase and show stories of joy. And So what did you find as you were searching?
What I was able to come across as time went on. So this is not to say I don't know of or have not read Black queer authors who write within the greater mm-hmm. queer lesbian genre. Just many of those authors that I read, Cheryl Head, for example, writes mystery. So most of my consumption of her books involves some kind of act of violence against somebody in the background. And coming back into sharing those voices, as much as I want to lift up these novels, I don't think acts of violence towards people right now is the way in which to do that. So mystery's off the table, and that fucks it up. And then paranormal and sci-fi, there are women of color everywhere. And I'm already laced where I am very diplomatic when I even trip over my language. I intentionally trip and like make fun of myself in that process. And I get so stuck in my head that if I trip over my language about any community outside of those I project to be white, then I am potentially, without malice, maybe tripping over something I'm not aware of, or it sounds as if I'm making something much more lax than it should be. So I find myself apprehensive to that. So sci-fi and fantasy fall into those categories because they're already communities that I'm very intimidated by. But I have found a lot of people there, but I haven't read the novels to know how much of it does have that romantic influence. And even when you go on Goodreads, when you find many novels that do exist that feature queer Black artists who write queer Black characters, the initial research, which we sometimes rely on because there's only so many hours in a day, the reviews aren't there. There aren't as many write-ups. They don't get the same accolades in the lesbian and women-loving women sphere. So it takes even more research to make sure that as we are prepping for this episode, that we are coming with the same type of material we come with the other books. And if we don't, then what does that say about us with how we treat these novels? So what I've learned in the process isn't even that these books don't necessarily exist. It's that other people don't lift up these books. And because they don't lift up these books, the community based around these books and the ability to ask questions and to hold on to these characters and to embrace these authors doesn't exist the same way. Full stop.
Yeah. It's a lot to unpack. And I think what you and I can do and have a responsibility to do is to sort of like dwell in this discomfort and like really not allow ourselves to forget these feelings, because
I think what we're currently recording is heavy. And a lot of people should be having very heavy conversations right now or listening to very heavy conversations right now. Nobody has permission to check out. It doesn't change if we check out. Going forward, I believe our intention is to get back to laughing and breaking down writing structure and talking about contemporary projections and including voices that are familiar to us, and then also going, oh, I didn't hear it from that way. But the difference is making sure we put in the work to make sure that we're not saying the same narrative over and over again because we're more comfortable discussing that narrative. So those things are coming. And I'm so excited about what we have on the docket. And I'm over the moon to jump back into A Tip of a Tongue and to do this with you, because it's my geek sesh. I love this. I love doing this with you. And I can't wait to dive back into people meet cutes and flirting. And here's that moment when we're looking at each other and also saying to other people in the room who can eavesdrop, we've got to be more than we were before. And that is what whatever this episode turns into is. It's my declaration of saying there are weaknesses that I am responsible for being better than, and I'm going to be better than those weaknesses. I'm not picking easy because it's easy.
Yeah. Let's do the work together. Hear, hear, Rebecca. I think you said it perfectly. And let's get back to reading these books so we can record our next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about when, yeah, that scene particularly. Oh my God.
Okay. We'll see you soon, everybody.
Later.